Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher.
All right. Well, today we have Ali Heather Duca. Did I say that right?
Yes.
All right. From Jersey Mike's. He has several franchises here in Houston. So, Ali, tell us, say hello.
Hey. How are the listeners doing?
This is first time in the studio, so I'm sure if you were here, you'd probably feel a little nervous too.
Yes.
So, Ali, tell us a little bit about you. Did you grow up here in the Sugar Land, Houston area?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Sugar Land. Went to Colony Meadows Elementary School and then did Fort Settlement. I was the first flight, which means, you know, I did 6th, 7th, and 8th grade there. Then I progressed on to Clements High School. After that, I did hotel restaurant management at U of H and graduated that in 4 years in 2012, and just been in Houston since. And, you know, it's my hometown, Sugar Land. Definitely had to bring the business back here.
That's awesome. So I see you have a wedding ring on. So
yes.
You're married? You have
yes.
a family yet?
Yeah. I've been married for 7 years. I have a daughter, 2.5, Elena.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She's great. My wife's a teacher at Commonwealth Elementary, and she actually went to school there too.
Oh my goodness. I bet that's surreal for her to walk in there. So you went to college for hospitality.
Yes.
Why did you pick that major?
My family owns a few hotels, and I just applied to the Hilton College. I heard it was number 2 in the nation at that time, and I wasn't really studious in high school. So when I got in, you know, I was ecstatic, you know. I just took it as a sign, and I just ran with it.
What kind of things do they cover when you're in hospitality? Because, you know, I know I have a business, and even if it's not a hospitality business, I train my staff to be hospitable, to have hospitality. Oh. So how broad is hospitality?
So when I first, I didn't know what I was getting myself into when going. You know, you do your base classes, and then when you get into the actual college of hospitality, there's two sectors. There's the restaurant. You can emphasize in restaurants or you can emphasize in hotels. And funny thing, I actually emphasize in hotels and not restaurants.
And you're in the restaurant business.
I'm in the right. It just works out that way. And quite frankly, any restaurant class that I was required to take, I really didn't pay attention at all. Because I was focused in hotels. But they cover the basis of hospitality, the service industry. And I think, you know, Bill Marriott actually said something along this line of he urges everybody to work in the service industry for at least 6 months or a small period of time. I think we could be better humans in the service industry.
Absolutely.
A lot of people come in and without the experience of being on the other side of the counter, I think it really puts things in perspective, and a lot of people are more patient after they've, you know, been in the service industry.
I bet that is absolutely true. So right now you have, did you start your career off in a corporation and then you decided to be your own business owner? How'd that work out?
So I started after I graduated, U of H, I applied everywhere. I mean, they had a college fair, a career fair, and I applied to all the hotels. I never, you know, I didn't focus on the restaurants, and I got in with White Lodging, which is a management company.
Okay.
And the hotel I worked at was the Courtyard Marriott by the Galleria.
Okay.
And
nice area town.
Yes. And I did front desk, and I'm here thinking, man, I just graduated and I got hired, but as a front desk agent, you know, and it's like a $10 per hour, you know, entry level position. You know, I was there and I was working, and I just knew it wasn't for me. You know, it wasn't where I felt like I really belonged. And funny enough, actually, there was a Jersey Mike's right across the street from there. And that's actually when I took a lunch break and I actually went there for the first time. And I just felt the energy, and I just fell in love with that energy.
So tell us, for those who haven't been to a Jersey Mike's, why? Well, first off, it says on your shirt, nice shirt, by the way, it says Jersey Mike's subs. So subs is always like a secondary. Right. But tell us what a Jersey Mike's restaurant is.
So it's you feel the energy when you walk into a Jersey Mike's subs. And that's my goal as an owner, is is to get you to come for the food, but stay for the company. Okay. I really pride myself on service because the product is great, right? But you could get a similar product elsewhere. But the service is what really keeps you coming back. And so what defines Jersey Mike's and what separates us from the rest of our competition is the freshness, you know. So when you order a turkey sandwich, we slice it fresh right in front of you. The cheese, nice. And the meat, you know, our bread is baked in-house. So you could definitely tell the quality. Our Philly cheesesteaks are great, grilled fresh, made to order.
I love Philly cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the freshness of our onions, our lettuce and tomato. Of course, when I was first getting into this, I didn't realize the thought and the, almost like the scientific, like backing of how serious we take making sandwiches.
Okay. So you're saying that you have an experience when you come in.
Yes.
Oh, I get to build it. I'm sure I stand in front of a counter
right.
and tell you what I want, what I don't want.
Right.
And they come. You can also have them heated up, right?
Right. And where we really excel is our Mike's way, which is onions, lettuce, tomato, the juice, which is really what makes that sandwich.
What you call it?
The juice.
No, you said Mike's.
Mike's way. Mike's way.
Oh, yes. Mike's way.
Mike's
okay,
way.
Like yep. Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's. Mike's way.
Okay.
And so the juice really, it's vinegar and olive oil blend, and that really, it really creates that flavor profile.
Okay.
And I think if you have it two times, I mean, you're... Me, as before I even wanted to get into it, you know, I went to Jersey Mike's for a lunch break, and I found myself even on my off days just driving to Jersey Mike's. It was 20 minutes away in the Galleria area, and I just enjoyed it. I mean, it's a concept that doesn't need to be taken too seriously,
right.
You know?
Versus, good lunch break.
Yeah, good lunch break versus I was at the hotel, you know, you're wearing a suit, you're wearing a tie, you're dealing with people that are very... They're trying to get in and out,
right.
You know, but Jersey Mike's is like, when you come during your lunch break, my goal is to let, you know, you've been sitting behind a desk all day. You come in 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long you're with us. I want you to forget about work and just focus on the experience, the energy of a fast paced work environment.
Oh, sounds like I need to go there for lunch today. Yeah. All right. So tell me, so you were working for a hotel front desk. You're going, or you're being a customer of Jersey Mike's. So how'd you get from where you are now, where you have five? And why did you get in your business for yourself? How'd that happen?
So I've always wanted to own my own business. And when I went into hotel restaurant management, I'm thinking hotels is where we're going to be. But, you know, the investment of a hotel is like, you know, in the millions.
All the capital.
Right,
yeah.
A bunch of capital versus a restaurant, you know, turnkey we're looking at. When I first opened my first store, this is in 2015, was like, you know, $400K.
Okay.
And now we're looking 500 turnkey. So first payroll, first inventory, first rent, security deposit, all in. Franchise fees, 500K. When I walked in, like I said, the energy, the person behind the counter that was serving me as a customer they were just so engaged. And you could tell when someone genuinely likes their job, genuinely wants to be there. And I do feel that Jersey Mike's it's a laid back. You know, there's no script that we make you say, you know, hey, welcome to Jersey Mike's. You just be natural. And so I got addicted to that. And at first, you know, I was 23 years old. I was thinking, should I apply? I mean, how do we even start this process? So I went on Jersey Mike's website. You know, it says, click here to be a franchisee. Fill out a form. I didn't click submit. You know, I was like, man, that's a waste of, nobody's going to give a 23-year-old a chance to own a franchise. And then someone told me, you know, try and fail, but never fail to try.
Okay.
And that just stuck with me. So, you know, I went ahead, filled out the application, clicked submit, and I was all in at that point. Waited. I got an automated message saying, you know, we'll contact you in 24 hours. You know, someone will contact you. Waited 24 hours. Nobody contacted me.
Right.
So then I am here again, you know, every week I'm filling out this form again, clicking submit, you know, and
yeah.
I learned persistence is really important.
Absolutely.
Did that for about 3-4 weeks. Finally, someone like emailed me. They're like, okay, we got your application. We're going to contact you. It was Ed Yancey who actually, I guess, vetted me and brought me into the system. And even then, I think Jersey Mike's they're really strict on who they bring into the franchise. Because if we're going to grow, we've seen all these Blimpies, Quiznos, they come, they go. And I think your people is what really helps you grow. So they have a huge vetting process. So I got into...
Where's their franchise?
They're in Manasquan, New Jersey.
Okay.
So the first location's in Point Pleasant, but their home office now is in Manasquan. And I actually had to fly out there. They flew me out there to do a face-to-face interview.
Okay.
You know, you're meeting with Peter Cancro, who's the founder of Jersey Mike Subs and what it is now. And you're meeting face-to-face, and they're really looking at you and saying, well, do we want this person to be part of our family?
They're investing in you.
They're investing in me, yes. So actually, I went out there and got back, and I emailed Ed, you know, hey, how'd it go? What did everybody think? They said, no, you're not the guy. And it was, I mean, this is the first time, you know, you're 23 years old, you're thinking, wow, I know what I'm doing. And then, no.
Right.
So, you know, I think my email back was something sort of, you know, I understand that you're saying no, but you're not giving me anything else to follow up on. You know, how can I prove myself?
How do I make it to a yes?
Yes. How do I make it to a yes versus just taking a no and just going the other way?
Right.
And then I actually had to give them the suggestion of, you know, let me work at one of your stores in Houston for 6 months, and then maybe you guys can see what you guys
right.
see, you know, maybe send someone and take a look at me while I'm working. And so they're like, okay, sure. And I'm thinking maybe they're trying to, you know, hey, let's just say yes and he'll, you know, fall through the cracks.
Right.
But I kept at it 6 months. You know, I emailed Ed again. Hey, Ed, you know, 6 months I've been here. Terry Nordenstrom, who was the area director at that time, I've been working at one of his stores. What do you guys say? You guys coming down to see me work? And there, you know, the response was, well, I don't know if we could be there anytime soon. Maybe give it a 3 months. And I was like, well, how about I fly up to New Jersey and I work at one of your corporate stores? Because I wanted to get the ball rolling.
Right.
So I fly out there. I work at one of their stores. They had Josh Funderburk and Frank Szczesinski, who's still with Jersey Mike's, both of them. And in that relationship, I was thankful enough to make. And literally, they sat at a customer table, and they just sat with a pen and pad and just watched me.
Wow.
It was so nerve-wracking. Yeah. And so I worked the lunch rush, maybe 2-3 hours. And then they called me over. We sat in the lobby. And, you know, the answer again was, no, we're not sure if you're the right guy. And I think I learned... These are lessons that you learn as you grow. You know, you learn persistence, and then you learn that people don't get fired for saying no. So, so they said no. You know, if I turned out to be a bad franchisee, nobody gets in trouble, right?
Right?
So nobody gets fired for saying no. So then they sent me to Dallas to get approved by the area director there, Dalton Stewart.
So they still saw something.
Something, yeah.
Okay.
I think the persistence was huge, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's a young man. You're pursuing them.
Right.
They're not pursuing you. So they're like, okay, we got to give this guy some time.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's awesome.
So they send me to Dallas.
You made this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I go to Dallas and I work with the area director there, and he's probably working with me. I'm there for, I think, 5 days, and he's working with me maybe the first day, a few hours. And he's already telling me, I don't even know why you're here. You know, this is definitely a yes for me. So he signs off on me. Then we're off. I mean, this is probably 2015 at this time. And then finding a location in Sugar Land at that time was very scarce. There wasn't much commercial developments at that area or at that time. And we finally found a location, which is our first location. I actually emailed. Once again, I'm following up on everybody. I'm emailing the landlord. Mm-hmm. Hey, you have a strip here. I think I'd love the end cap here, but it's too big. If you're willing to break a wall, put up a wall, I'm ready to rent one spot.
Right.
And they said, no, we're not interested in splitting it.
So it had just begun.
It had just begun, yeah. and you know, this is me realizing, wow, clicking submit is easy on an application.
Right.
It's the follow through that's hard.
So they had, when they, now I've heard that sometimes when you buy into a franchise, you have to come in and commit to more than one location. Did they have that kind of requirement on you?
No, you know, Jersey Mike's is very, like I said, they're taking very calculated steps. And so what they told me is, look, sign one location first.
Okay.
You know, and I think this builds the trust in the brand.
Right.
And they're not trying to sell me 5, 10, 15 locations. They're selling me one.
And they make sure that you don't have another Jersey Mike's to compete with, right?
Right.
So
yes.
they make sure that you're set for success.
Right. Yes. And so that, you know, once, and then actually that landlord then reached out to me later saying, okay, you know what? We'll go ahead and put up a wall. So we put up a, we have to pay for the wall and all of that. It's all in the lease agreement. And I'm going in, making my first location. We're finally open. And I think day two, our freezer breaks. So it's like, you know, you're seeing these road bumps that most entrepreneurs see.
Right. And the cash that's going out.
And the going out. Yeah. And you're working the hours. And so that's actually where I got my start, was the first store here in Telfair. And I worked there as a manager for about 3 years. So 2015, we opened, and actually 2019, we started growing. 2019, we actually grew three stores that year.
Three stores. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. We built three stores that year.
So you're no longer making the subs. You are spending your day doing what when you're trying to grow three at the same time?
Yes.
What's going on?
So we're still trying to figure that out. And, okay. and you know, I'm still in the stores making sandwiches, okay, because I think it's important that my team members see when I ask for something, I'm willing to do it. I'm never going to ask them for anything that I haven't done already or not willing to
do. So it makes a difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think now things are kind of changing. You got to lead by example, but you also have to not do everything for your team either. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually working. I work closely with James Clark, who's my operations manager, and he's been with us since 2016. Actually, about a year after we opened, he joined us, and he worked from entry level to shift lead to AGM and manager, and now he's our ops manager.
So you have an ops manager. So does that mean he's in charge of all five? He's kind of keeping an eye on all the different locations?
Yes. So he's looking after the five locations. I have someone under him who's a district manager named Kenton Collins. And my goal is to focus on development so we can grow more mm-hmm. stores. I want James focusing on the development of managers in our existing stores, and then Kenton to kind of help James assist that.
And so how old are you now?
I'm 32 now.
So it's been...
It's been started when I was 25. So okay. Yeah, 7 years.
Wow, you've grown a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Professionally yeah. and...
Oh, and I'm still growing, you know, yeah. And I think a lot of times maybe entrepreneurs don't mention this part of their journey. I mean, it's been one heck of a journey, ups and downs. And, you know, you invest your time and energy into someone and then, no, this isn't for me. And they right. go on and pursue something else, which is fine. But I think
it's like three steps forward, two steps back.
Exactly.
And you're in the service industry, so you need people.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you can just set up a shop and it happens.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm heavily dependent on my people, and it's very important we bring in the right people.
How many employees do you have now?
We have about 10 to 15 per store.
And are they full-time, part-time?
We have a mixture. I think on our entry-level positions where we up until shift leads, I think we do a pretty good job on keeping them for years. I think our turnover is very, very low when it comes to, you know, our team members and our shift leads, because it's a fun environment to work in. Time flies.
Right. All right. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you've been in the growth mode for so long, and so I want to find out, what's it like? What are the expectations? Because I'm sure any money you're making, you're taking and you're putting it back in. So when we come back, can you kind of walk us through what it takes to start the new locations? What kind of cash flow? What are the costs? What are some of the unexpected expenses you had no idea to plan for? So when we return, we'll cover those things. So we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Thank you for listening to Small Business Insights. Today's show is sponsored by Imperial Cold Storage. Hard to find small freezer and walk-in cooler units for rent, month to month or long term with 24-hour access. Imperial Cold Storage, keeping it cool for you. And we now resume with our regularly scheduled program, Small Business Insights.
All right, so we're back with Ollie Heather, and we're going to talk more about Jersey Mike's. And he is located here in the Houston area, and he has five locations, and he's built all these like in the last 5 to 7 years. Is that right? Right?
Yeah.
So I know my companies have been in growth mode. So I was mentioning at the break, people may think we're rich, but we have no cash.
Right.
So, because that's the truth.
Yeah.
So walk us through what it took to start these different businesses, cash cash flow, you don't have to give all of your secrets away, but maybe just set some expectations of, hey, when you're going to start something like this, you need to think big, and this is how big you need to think. And what have you done to, what surprised you the most about growing, and are you making any money yet? So kind of walk us through those type of things.
Yeah, so actually, when I first got started, we did an SBA loan, which is, you know, it's a government-funded loan. You put up 20%, and the government puts up the 80%. And that's how we first got our first store going. And like I said, my second store came 4 years after. So that first 4 years, we weren't really distributing as partners or anything. We were just putting it into a bank account because we were thinking growth mode.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm thankful that I have my uncles that are backing me up financially. You know, they believe in me and they believe in the brand Jersey Mike's. And, you know, that's really helping us continue the funding. But I think at this point, we're just funding the stores with the income we're making in our stores. Right. So we're thankful we don't have to really go out and look for a loan at this point.
Even with family members, you have to demonstrate.
Yes.
That you're responsible.
Oh, I think.
I'm sure they just didn't hand you money.
Yeah.
Didn't you say your family was in the hotel business?
Right.
So they know what it takes.
Right. And I think that's important is to really, when you invest in a business, you're really investing in someone, right? Because through the ups and downs, you want to know if someone's fight or flight, you know? And I think you just got to keep fighting. And so the funding, it comes through my family. And now with Jersey Mike's, you know, we're able to create.
So the funding, I know, like, for, we're working on some growth plans too. And so the funding is to help you get your capital ready to invest in secure your leases. I'm sure there's more franchise fees, equipment. What's it take? What kind of a ballpark does it take to open up a franchise? And are they all the same? Did you look at other franchises and say Jersey Mike's was a good deal? Or goes on?
You know, actually, when I was first starting, I think a lot of people from Jersey Mike's asked me, are you looking into anything else? And a lot of, and I never really thought about it. You know, I never really looked into anything else because I guess if I fall in love with something, it's like I don't need to look
right
anywhere else. So I didn't really compare it to anything else. I just kind of went with it. I believed in the brand and the product, and I just believe that they're going to take care of me and I'm going to take care of their customers.
Right.
So that's how I kind of looked at it. But when you look at like franchise fees and you're looking at 11.5%, so every Monday that gets taken out of our bank accounts per store, you're looking at equipment, insurance, rent, uniforms, which is a huge investment, uniforms, because in the restaurant industry, shirts get dirty, hats get worn out. Equipment, I talked about maintenance. You know, you're looking 500K turnkey.
Right.
Cisco, I mean, cost of everything's going up. We do, we work with a local produce company and Lone Star Produce. We've been working with them for 6 years, 7 years now. And I mean, prices are just going up on everything. So
do you get to pick out your own equipment, or do they tell the franchise, tell you what you have to buy?
At first, you know, I kind of went in with, okay, well, this is what Jersey Mike's is telling me. This is what I'm going to go with. Mm-hmm. But I think as I'm getting more experience under my belt, I think now I'm kind of being more picky on which maintenance or which equipment companies we work with. Sometimes they don't make them as well as they should be. And that's just a headache that you don't want to deal with later.
And then finding the service vendors to get there when you need them.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a mentor that you, when you get stuck, you've got someone? I know you have some family members that are business owners that you can go to, but do you find you ever get stuck, and how do you get help?
Oh yeah, I definitely get stuck. And actually you bring up a great point about mentors. I think mentors are super important. And I think as I'm growing, and like you said, we've been growth mode, and I think this is the first year where we haven't built a store. And it's really interesting because every part of me is like, okay, well, we need to have more stores. We need to have more stores. But I think right now, when it comes to the people plan, we're really not where we want to be, where we have sustainability in the stores. So definitely I get stuck, and I wish I had a mentor I could turn to.
Right.
I'm kind of stubborn in the sense of trying to figure things out on my own. I really do use James a lot. to piggyback ideas off of.
That's your operations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're very like-minded individuals, and we believe in giving back to our team before we take. So we've got a goal, and we want to, we know how to get there. We just need to figure out how to get there.
Right. So y'all pay each other. I mean, you give yourself a salary.
Yes.
And do you bonus yourself on success, or do you also pass any of that on to your employees?
Yeah. So, so we all bonus from it, from me all the way to the managers. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get stuff together to get the AGM bonus as well and shift leads. But we're trying to figure that out. But to do that, we need sustainability in the stores to justify the bonus that we provide.
Are you bonusing on just pure profit, or do you have other measurable things, other key?
So we do it on profit. But of course your food costs and your labor costs have to be in line.
Right.
We want to add a variable where it comes to quality of like the cleanliness of the store. So like a facilities audit.
That's
and
good.
Also maybe put it off of customer service, base it highly on that too.
Like reviews and
reviews.
So let's talk about reviews.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
It's tough.
I have not looked to see your reviews, but I mean, every once in a while, you're going to get a bad one.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you handle that in the food industry? Because people are always looking on Yelp for something. What's your experience? How do you overcome those things?
So at first, you know, I mean, and I would say the first 3-4 years, we got a review. Oh, my God. You know, it's all hell's broken loose. You know, I'm talking to the manager at that time, the shift lead. What happened here? Let's figure it out.
Right.
Then you start to realize, and I guess you have to have thick skin. In the service industry, you have to have thick skin. You're not gonna ever make everybody completely happy. And like I said, it's people that haven't been in the service industry that are out here and they're posting something, which, you know, they're more than welcome to do. But I think if we can empathize, you know, nobody's out here thinking, okay, well, Laura's coming in. Oh, I'm going to take my time making her sandwich, or
that's,
I'm going
right, to
make it incorrectly just because her name's Laura, or
right,
whatever the situation may be. You know, our goal is to get you in and out.
Right.
You know, so we can work on our checklist and we can keep the store clean and then we can leave.
Right.
You know, as time's gone on, I've changed my approach to not what, you know, how they're saying it or what the issue, what's the root problem here,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, is it a training issue?
Right.
Let's retrain. Maybe most of the time it's just a communication issue. Oh, the guest wasn't greeted. Guys, let's greet the guest. It's simple.
Right.
I don't need to spend 2 hours doing a training session on greeting. It's simple. Hey guys, someone comes in, wouldn't you like to be greeted? Treat them the same way.
Right.
And I think you got to over communicate with the guest. Oh, hey, I'm working on this online order right here. I'm going to work on yours right next. And if you keep that conversation open, just keep that door open.
Right.
They know that they're not being ignored.
I always say communication gives a lot of grace.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
That's,
you're
so
saying,
true.
If they're busy and you're backed up, hey, we'll be right with you.
Yes,
I'm sure that's
exactly
what you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure you've kind of experienced the same thing. I'm an owner-operator. So if I go to a business where I haven't received the kind of level of service, it is not my first thing to go and do a review.
Oh, yeah.
My husband and I will maybe mention something to the manager and say, hey, we're fine, but, you know, this is the kind of experience we had, and you may want to be aware of it. But yeah, I'm sure other owner operators don't slam, mm-hmm, because they know how valuable that is, and it really doesn't help. I mean, let's do something to help, not to hurt.
And I'm thankful. Like I said, that first store, 2015, I was there every day, 2015 all the way up until 2018 or so. And I've created such a great relationship with my customers. I've, mm-hmm, had customers give me a call on my personal cell phone.
Yeah.
Hey, just want to let you know this, and this is happening. And I appreciate that because I can't be there all the time.
Right.
So I really heavily rely on people that give me constructive criticism, you know, versus just badmouth you.
Sometimes when we're low on reviews, what I'll do is I'll say, hey, if you can get a review and they mention your name, I'll give you $5.
Yeah.
You know, something so that there's something in it for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we do that when our store, one of our stores had such a great comment card come in, and we gave everybody like a $20 gift card that worked at that store. And I just, you know, our team members got to know we're really looking after them. You know, we understand. I've been in your shoes. You know, it's not easy to come in and be happy all the time, or, you know, but you got to fake it in the service industry. Yeah.
That's true. And really, there are no problems in sandwich making.
No, yeah.
I mean,
really. Nothing we can
say. There's no emergency.
Yeah. Yeah, there really isn't. I mean, you know, we've been doing it for so long that all we overthink things. But in the end of the day, sometimes I take a step back and I'm like, guys, it's just making sandwiches.
Yeah.
Oh, Laura ordered a sandwich and she got tomatoes on it. And she called in, hey, Laura, sorry we put tomatoes on it. I'd like to reinvite you back to our store.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. You know, if you explain to Laura or anybody, you know, that people get it.
Yeah, they do. People are reasonable.
You're right.
You know, if you treat them with respect.
If you treat them with respect, there you go. Yeah.
All right. So let's tell me what's next. So you haven't opened a shop in a year. So, and you're kind of looking, you're assessing, I'm sure, what's next. So what kind of things do you consider when you're ready to grow?
So it's a huge question because like we talked about, I'm in growth mode. I mean, 2019, we went from one store in the beginning of 2019 to four stores, and it was really shook everything up, you know, and I started to realize a lot of things. One, just because someone is good at their job doesn't make them a good manager, right? Management is a leadership skill. Without leadership in your store, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere. And two, I started to realize, I mean, being from Fort Bend ISD, you know, with Clements High School, just the area that this is, you know, you're out here thinking, wow, it's do or die. Right. I mean, like, that's a little exaggerated, but it you feel the pressure, you know, you feel like everybody around you is trying to achieve something. And then you go into owning a business and you realize there's people coming in that are going to be working for you that really aren't motivated the way you are. Right. And it's my job to create that motivation in them. But I'm starting to realize that I have to create that motivation. It's hard to find people that are self-motivated. So I think that's my challenge. And before we can even think about growth, we do have one more store that we're contracted to build. And we definitely want to get there. I got to grow with the right people.
Right.
We grew fast and we put our time and energy, I don't want to say into the wrong people, just people that weren't compatible with what we wanted and the vision that we wanted to have and the place we wanted to go. So without that, I mean, it's tough to grow with people that really aren't on the same page as you. So we've got great managers in our stores now, managers in training that really see our vision, and we're taking it slow with them. You know, we're not pushing anybody to a position that they're not able to do comfortably without any of our helps.
You know, listening to you, I really do see how you've taken an interest in your product. You've made it grow. Obviously, your tenacity, and you're pursuing that that franchise made all the difference. It's why you're here today. And it sounds like you've learned the lessons that you can build something, but you have to build it with people.
Right.
And the right people. And it sounds like you're kind of settling in right now. And that's a good place.
Right. Right? Yeah, definitely.
So when you go to the next level, I'm sure you're going to maybe approach things a little bit differently.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's at first I was, you know, I was trying to achieve a deadline, and, you know, you find out that you're running and you're
thinking, they're self-imposed.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody else gave you those deadlines.
Yeah, nobody else.
Right?
Yeah, and you're living up to a deadline that you made up, and it's like, let's slow it down, guys. Let's grow with a purpose, you know, not grow just to grow.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got a great product. I know I've visited the one here in Sugar Land off of Highway 6.
Yes.
Always a great experience.
Awesome.
And I know I've got lots of boys in my family, so they like the meaty sandwiches at Jersey Mike's. So that's a great product.
Yeah, come see us at the Telfer's location. It's close by. Jordan's our manager there. She's doing a great job.
Awesome. All right, so let's I'm going to put in the show notes how to reach you, but give us an tell us generally, how can they reach if they have some questions for you? Maybe they want to come work for you, maybe whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always interested in bringing new people on board. Like I said, I'm looking for a mentor. So if someone's out there listening to this, you could contact me. We in the show notes, we'll put my cell phone number, my email address. I'm texting is probably the best way, you know, to get a hold of me. I'm pretty quick with responding to that. So
awesome. And if they want to find Jersey Mike's where you're running it, so that would go on to the Jersey Mike's general website, and then do what kind of locations? Yeah,
you could do a store location search. We own we got two in Sugar Land. We have one in Missouri City, one in Stafford, and one in Katy.
Awesome. Those are great places here in Houston. And all right. Well, I am so glad you stopped by, and I look forward to seeing more of your shops, and maybe you'll get into some other franchises as your businesses grow.
So, yes.
All right. Well, thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right. Until next time, you better be up to something.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.